the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you're interested in joining in on the chat there, you can jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html, where you can talk to not just the Shaziz Radio side, but the Awake Radio side as well. Two chat rooms for the price of one. It's a twofer, man. Anyway, yeah, I posted a couple videos down in there. One of them, I posted that it's got to do with the old Bill Nye, the science guy out there talking about how he thinks that people should be jailed for being climate change deniers. That really, like, gets under my skin, man. But I'll get into that in a moment. one more important subject at the moment. Anyway, I posted a link down there to Raymond's latest video for his pop-pop boat or putt-putt boat, whichever one you want to call it. There's two different names out there, so if you look them up, then you'll see what they are. But did a video quite some time back called Pop-Pop Boat, and we actually tried to run a contest, but ironically enough, not one single entry in that contest, which was pretty disappointing, and a loss to people out there. There was a lot of prizes we had going on at the time. Somebody could have won something pretty cool. But essentially, we are going to try it again one more time to see if we can't get it together, but we're going to build a few things and do a couple videos first before we actually get that far. But our version of the deal isn't going to be like the little toy. See, a pop-pop boat or a putt-putt boat, there's a toy that goes way back. It's a little steam engine. As it's running through the water, you can hear it making a little popping sound as the little water hammer inside there expands and contracts the metal inside the boiler system in there. And they ran off a little birthday candle. And so with that said, we want to build a scaled up version, full size pop-pop boat that you can run around in your pond or lake with. And so Raymond did a test video of his first go at it with some copper tubing, and if you don't mind, Raymond, I'll let you explain what you got going on your side there, and then I'll throw a few ideas to you there. What do you think?
All right. Well, it's very simple. You heat the water till it expands into steam, and when you heat water and expands into steam, it doesn't get it, say, oh, getting bigger. He said, ow! Water turns to steam instantaneously, whether it's one molecule or 2 billion molecules. Whenever it hits its temperature and heat content to convert from a liquid to a gas, it is instantaneous. It is an explosion. So if you take a very, very small amount of water, you can heat it really fast. So the point is, with the pop-pop boat, you use a very, very small pipe. So that you can, the birthday candle will throw enough heat in to do it. Mine was a 3/8 inch OD diameter copper, outside diameter, so it's 4, 5, 6, 7 times larger diameter than those on your actual toys. And I just want to see if it would work, because I've had several people tell me that the bigger you try to scale it up, the less efficient it is. Well, actually, no. If you do it right. And the secret is, it's a heat engine. And a lot of people think they understand that with a heat engine, you put heat in it, it runs. No, that's only half of the situation. A heat engine, you put heat in it, it runs, but you've got to get the heat out in order to get it to run. Now, if you can only get the heat out half as fast as you can put it in, it's only going to run so long because it's only going to be 50% efficient. If you build it where you get the heat out faster than you put it in, then it will be 100% efficient. So, and that's what all of mine is. Mine, the one in the video, is 12 inches diameter and roughly 4 feet long, and it's pushing the heck out of some water. The video shows it just gyrating the water back and forth like crazy, and that takes a lot of energy. Now, my idea is not to scale that up. It's much bigger than that. But to do it many times and put them in series. And the way I built it, it could be stacked, almost like you would stack Dixie cups. One inside the other, and just keep stacking. Yeah, the size of that one, if I had about 30 or 40 of them, it would definitely push a 10-foot John boat and a human being.
Well, I was thinking along the lines of back when we first started talking about having some custom coils made, to make some out of stainless steel, but inside, let's say you got like say it's 2 inch in diameter stainless steel tube, and inside that you have a whole bunch of tiny or smaller ones and that make up a core inside there. You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying, and you are right.
And bend them all into the same coil at the same time. So basically what that would do is, give you a whole lot more pressure as far as the way it's going. But even at that, without getting all high tech, I mean, if you did one out of the stainless steel coils that I was talking about, you'd have the perfect heat engine. As far as I'm concerned, making a solid state boat motor, and you could use anything from hydrogen gas, which, you know, when you run an internal combustion engine, you might need a whole lot more hydrogen gas. But if you're just running a heat source, a flame, then you don't need it near as much.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, with that said, you could run it off of propane, butane, hydrogen, wood gas, or just the burning the log itself. With the stainless steel, you wouldn't have to worry about things like overheating the copper and getting some copper oxide or whatever that's going to pollute the water, that kind of deal.
See, that's the whole secret of the pop-pop engine. You can use almost anything. You can use steel, copper, aluminum. Aluminum will work great because it transfers heat very fast.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you're not getting it that hot. Aluminum melts at 1,800 degrees. You're only going to get this thing up to about 250, 300 degrees. That's it.
Yeah, so, you know, with that said, when I watched your video, and I could actually see the thrust going on the way that that copper tubing was trying to get away from the bucket of water and the actual amount of water that was being turned, I could already see it. This would definitely work on a scaled up version, regardless of all the naysayers out there that said, well, you can't do it, the math don't work out, you can't scale it up, you know, it won't work.
They're
wrong. That little example that you showed right there could be so much more improved on. I don't know if you saw the comment that I posted on your deal.
I did.
If you equally distribute the heat in the right area on that, you see, when I'm watching your torch, you're only heating up a small section of the bottom half of that coil, where you was right in the right spot for where you needed to be as far as your heat, but it wasn't equally distributing the heat as efficient as it could. And if you had multiple coils, multiple turns on that coil, and made you a secondary coil that would go around that thing, and at strategic points in that, you had like a small, like maybe an eighth inch or quarter inch copper tubing, and at certain strategic points, you drilled holes in there so that your gas could get out like a burner out on each one of these coils. You see what I'm saying? They'd all have their separate little burner on there, and so for every single coil that you had, it would have its own individual burner and would evenly distribute that heat to, you know, let's say maybe the bottom half of each of those turns.
Okay, you're saying it correctly, but it's possible that some people misunderstand you. By multiple coils, you mean multiple single coils.
No, like a spring.
That will work, but not very efficient. That will work, but not very efficient. The more coils you have with a single piece of pipe, the more inefficient the engine will actually run.
Well, I guess mechanically you're not seeing it the same way in your head as I am in mine. When you got those little pockets down there, you've seen what one of them would do. A coffee percolator, when you heat that element up on a coffee percolator, it's actually got a stop valve on one side that waits. It won't let pressure go back one direction. So when the water gets in there, it has a stop valve, a check valve, that will only allow the water to go one way. Well, that water will actually sit in there for a while until it gets to the point where it boils up and it flashes into steam and pushes the water out, which sucks more water back in the other side. Now, if you've got multiples of these going on at the same time, when the first one spits it out, right behind it is another one that is pushing that air pressure in between the next one and lining it back out, if you can see what I'm saying, almost like a rotary engine.
I see exactly what you're saying, but what you have to think about is your heat, okay? To heat all those coils, you need more heat. Well, why not do them individually, individual coils? and put them up in series. Then use your power in parallel.
I'm sure you can, but that's just, it's a testing deal. We're just going to have to test every aspect and theory of the deal to get it down to where, whichever one's the most efficient. That's what makes it a contest.
Exactly. Now the thing is, in the video I showed that I have a 10-foot piece of half-inch ID, inside diameter, copper pipe. I've already straightened it out, taped one end shut, filled it full of salt, and taped the other end shut, and then laid it on the floor and rolled it around until I got it pretty daggone straight. Now I'm going to bend it around and make the exact same design, same size, okay? And with the half-inch pipe, and see how much heat it's going to take for it to work and how much more power it will put out, if it will.
Well, I'm positive it will,
but that's not my final design. My final design is so simple, people are going to freak out when they see it.
Well, let's go back to you before we come on air here today, and you talked about a desert experimenter out there had a video back when we was trying to do the first pop-pop boat contest, which, like I said, was really disappointing because we didn't even get one single entry in that contest. But either way, hold on a second. Either way, hold on a second.
2013, wasn't it?
Yeah, hold on a second. He took a copper tubing and basically connected it to a battery, and you instantaneously got some hot water coming up out of there with some induction. Now that one deal could be expanded on by putting more turns to that. You'd break down the resistance but still get the induction, but you was telling me that you really only needed one loop across there,
right?
But I'm thinking more along the lines of trying to extend battery life is why I was saying more coils to that, just like a regular, a transformer, the number of turns on there.
Right.
If you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I understand exactly. Now, here's the thing. My thought on that was he's running electricity through that whole coil of copper pipe. That's a lot of resistance. What if you took a submersible heat element, a very small, and they make them small enough to do this, a very small heat element, submersible, and put it inside the pipe to where it does not touch the sides of the pipe. It's actually in the water. Then all of your electrical heat, nothing is wasted. Every bit of your electrical heat goes directly to the water.
Well, yeah, and we also talked about the heating elements, the tungsten heating elements out of the old style of electric heaters.
Right.
Wound around like a coil around the coil itself. So there's all kinds of possibilities.
Here's the thing, Shazam, a lot of people don't realize it, but you use the same water over and over and over again. So you could actually fill your boat or your motor or your engine with distilled water, put two colored rods in there, and have just electric arc heating your water.
Well, there's all kinds of possibilities on how to design this thing.
Yes, there is. There's many different ways to design it, as there are people out there interested in building one. In fact, there's more.
And
like I said, my final thing.
I got a question. Do you have to use the actual expulsion and contraction of the water directly on the surface of the water you're trying to propel through, or can you use that to run another mechanism, say to run a piston to turn a turbine blade or something behind it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I've already thought about that just the other day while I was making the video. It was running through my head, and it would definitely, absolutely, positively work. It would gyrate a piston back and forth like you would not believe. You could put a magnet on that piston and have it going in and out of a coil. I mean, the actual possibilities of this engine is unbelievable. It's totally unbelievable.
Yeah, but on my side of the spectrum there, I want to keep mine as simple as physically possible with no moving parts for purpose. And that's because if you can build a solid-state boat motor that runs off of heat, the implications of that would be limitless as far as what type of fuel you could actually use or electricity used to produce the heat. Copper is really good for distributing, heat, like letting it spread out real good. But stainless steel would work a lot better as far as, not having, say, maybe some toxic, what do they call it, whenever the copper gets too hot. The people that make the steels have this problem. They end up with, like, blue-green kind of alcohol that they can't. Copper oxide, I think, is what it is. Yeah.
Cooper's oxide.
Yeah, right. That's not something we'd want to put in the pond, for obvious reasons. But I don't believe we're going to be exceeding those kind of temperatures in order to make this thing run like we want it to do.
Nowhere near. In fact, like I said, anywhere from 250 to 350 degrees is ideal. Anything over 350 is not ideal. Anything under 250 is, it'll work. It just doesn't work as good.
Well,
that kind of heat is not going to damage your copper at all. In fact, most of your solders, even plumbing solder, melts at 450, 500 degrees, so you're not even going to melt your solder if you solder joints together.
One of the things is we're going to have some folks that's got some tubing bending skills to make some really good ones. You could pretty much make one by yourself. I don't even actually think you need necessarily coils, but I prefer coils for reasons that, I want to put, if I want to burn it off of wood, I want the wood to be inside the coil.
Shazaz, this is absolutely the perfect scenario for this contest. You'd like coils, I don't. I'm not going to use coils at all. All I want to do is heat the water up in a small area, have it turn into steam, and cool it as fast as I possibly can. And I've already got the design out. I'm going to do this other experiment with the half-inch pipe just for the heck of it. But then I'm starting on the real engine that I'm going to put in the boat and drive me completely across Lake Louisville in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, well, you got temperature differences that are going on inside here, like where your heat is on a regular pop-pop boat. Part of the reason why that thing works is because the way that they got their diaphragm engine set up inside there, the tubes actually go under the water. That's why they're able to get by with running like plastic tubing at the bottom of that thing in order, because it's underwater.
Right.
So it's not receiving direct heat as far as the bottom tubing that's actually coming out the back.
Right.
Which that could be a benefit, because you could actually produce some sort of jetting system, such as like what they use on jet skis, nozzle that'll turn you'll be able to turn left and right with it.
Alright, the thing is about the noise, the pop-popping, the putt-putting, the noise that it makes, that actually detracts from or takes away from the power of pushing the boat. If you build it where it doesn't pop-pop or putt-putt or whatever you want to do, if it makes no noise, then you can actually put your a Peltier device with a heat sink on top of your boiler and draw the heat off and make electricity, so you have your red and white lights or green lights on your boat.
Yeah, but as far as the noise, who cares when it's a toy? Hey, that's what they wanted, a noisy toy. But the only reason why that even bangs like that is because of the way they made the diaphragm inside here. It was intentionally for when that expansion, it would pop and sound like a little boat motor.
All we want
is to be able to drive the boat. We don't need all the racket.
First pop-pop engine ever built was in 1886 or 87. It was in 1918 that the man actually designed it to make noise so that he could make a toy and sell it. I mean, nobody wants to just watch a boat run around with making no noise at all. So he built it to where it put a diaphragm in it, where it would go pop, 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 pop. It makes noise, it excites kids, and mom and daddy buys it. It's not intended to make noise. It's very, very quiet. In fact, in the video, I'm sitting there talking, so my microphone is on, and you can't hear this thing run. You can hear the burner, but you can't hear the noise. It doesn't make noise. And here's another thing, too. It's a heat engine. The faster you get the heat out of it, the better it runs. And the thing is, that's why I made it so long. The water actually being pulsed back and forth, back and forth. You put your hand in front of it, and the water is ice cold. It's cold. There's no heat from that going into that container of water or the lake or whatever. If you build it properly, there's no heat. You get the heat off long before it reaches, the force actually reaches the water driving the boat.
Well, and like I say, if you build you a solid state motor, a boat motor that basically runs off of heat, that opens up a whole lot of stuff. A lot of these third world countries out there, you know, they got old boat motors, some of them ranging way back in the early 1900s all the way up through, you know, modern day time. But a lot of these boat motors, if you've ever owned a boat motor, you have it for 4 or 5 years and it becomes obsolete, and then parts get harder and harder to find.
Right.
And so not only are these older boat motors, you know, leaking and smoking like a freight train, but rattling and pieces falling off, and when they break down, they don't have no transportation anymore.
And I like what you said earlier about the pop-up boat. The engine is no moving parts.
Yeah, so there's nothing to replace. So if you design this and you design it properly, then you end up having a boat motor that would last pretty much forever, you know, until the metal corroded so bad it just fell apart and started leaking.
Pretty much.
But if it was perfectly, you know, maintained, stainless steel will last a whole lot longer than a lot of materials, you know, around a lot of water. I mean, that's why they use it in kitchens. And so if you was able to literally build a stainless steel coil with a bunch of tubing inside that thing and get you a good clean heat source for it, man, that thing would run forever.
You know, like you said, stainless steel would be great, but it's really expensive. You could very easily put your pipes that go down in the water, you could make them out of plastic or stainless steel, build your boiler and your cooling system with copper pipe or aluminum, which is a lot cheaper than stainless. And, like I said earlier, you could fill this engine with distilled water. There would be no oxygen to corrode the inside.
Well, you
could, you
know,
actually fill it with stainless steel, with distilled water, and you could run this thing in salt water.
You could actually
salt water, but you just fill the engine with distilled water, and no salt would get into the engine.
You could actually mold that engine if you had access to, you know, some, like the foundries have, the sand or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You could build a mold and actually, you know, pour these engines, because the engine itself is just where the heat exchange is going to be occurring.
Exactly.
And as long as you don't get it above the melting temperature of aluminum, which is not necessary because you don't need that much in order to produce steam. You keep that at a smooth temperature all the way across where it needs to be, and you'll get the same result, you know. And then you could actually speed the thing up and slow it down by venting it. So there's ways by which you could actually engineer this to actually relieve pressure at certain key points and basically slow it down.
You know, what you said earlier about taking a piece of pipe, drilling little holes in it, and use it put your gas in it, and let it, you know, burn. You could actually, if you didn't use a coil, use in other words, bend your pipe into a U shape, and put it an actual U shape, and put your flame at the bottom, right in the center of your U, and then you stack a bunch of these side by side by side with a hole under each one and a flame under each one. Then you come off the tops of those and go into your water. There. You could use really tiny pipe and just a couple hundred of them, that's all. And yeah, like I said, the whole secret is cooling it. So there are ways to take a copper pipe and have it cool, heat off, get rid of the heat faster than it would if it was just in the air, a lot faster. So
yeah,
therefore you have short pieces of pipe, and then you come off of that with plastic pipe and get the cost of the engine way down.
You can get the cost of that water situation down, too. Instead of using distilled water to get rid of the excess oxygen, because that water dissolves oxygen no matter what. So you could still end up with oxygen in that. But if you go ahead and throw a little tannic acid in there, which you can get it out of almost 80% of the leaves of trees on the planet, it'll act as an oxygen scavenger to make sure there's no oxygen to cause corrosion.
Okay.
So, I've been used in boiler systems before.
Well, we still want to keep it no moving parts, and I think your suggestion has no moving parts to it, so that's perfect.
Yep.
Well, I think
you just talked about it. Talking about it's a brown powder that you get whenever you soak leaves and bark and whatnot in water, and right. let the water concentrate, let the most of the water evaporate off, and throw some more water that's been soaked in it. That brown powder is tannic acid.
I will give you guys a hint, just a hint, of my future machine that I'm hoping will work, and I'm going to build it, and I'm going to use an air conditioning cooling coil. You have the loops on the ends?
Yeah, I was going to mention that as well. There's a lot of cores out there that could possibly be already ready to go for this type of scenario, because you got heater cores out of your car, and then you got air conditioner cores and stuff like that. You could actually stack multiples of these together, you know, and run multiple lines out for the water coming out, you know, the steam or heat coming out the back of the boat.
All those U-shaped loops on one side end of the coil, you take all of them off. On the other side, you leave them on. You turn it up to where the ones you leave on are down.
Oh, yeah. Also, there was one other purpose for the coils. What I was trying to explain to you earlier was that you always want to be able to keep the water down inside that there. So when one of those sides forces pressure out, the other side actually sucks water back up in and refills that coil. That's what I did with that big boat, and I was trying to figure out how this thing was actually functioning. But if it, if it's producing heat inside there, regardless of whether it sucks water up in there, it's still going to get moisture up there that's going to build back into enough water for your steam pressure going out.
Right.
But that's why I like the coil system, because once you fill that thing up, you got a couple little pockets down there at the bottom that's actually going to hold some water for the next time you want to start that boat motor up. You can get it warmed up and then go. You're not refilling it all the time. See, my initial design for the stainless steel coils would have had some caps over each one of the turns of the coil where you could actually fill a little bit of water in each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Get them primed, so to speak.
Right. Understood. But I tell you what, I'm getting really excited about it, because I know the one I'm going to build, my design, will definitely work. And it'll work unreal. Totally unreal. And be so cheap and so inexpensive to build, people are going to flip out.
Well, if this process works like I believe it will and you believe it will, then it could actually benefit a lot of people around the world, because we're talking about right now just pushing a boat, all right?
Right.
Now, that's forward motion that you're going to get out of there. So there's going to be enough pressure to come out of there to push a boat. But at the same time, there's also enough pressure there to create a heat pump that will pump water as well.
Exactly.
I did a video called Heat Siphon where I showed when you heated up the tubing that it would actually create a percolator effect like a coffee pot would, and then suck the water up. If you actually look at how your coffee pot works and you notice that the element is on the bottom and the tank is on the back over there, it's actually sucking that water up and squirting it over the top of your coffee and draining it down. So it's pumping water uphill.
Yeah.
And that's why they call it a percolator.
Right.
But with that same effect, you could actually pump water, and depending on the temperature that it's actually coming out the other side, help clean that water up at the same time.
You know, that's exactly what you're talking about, is exactly how my cold steam turbine works. The thing is, the reason I will use cold steam is that I'm using a percolator system to gyrate or jiggle a magnet, and that magnet is close to a copper coil. Well, heat destroys the magnetism in a magnet. But if I can boil the water at 60, 70, 80 degrees, there's no damage to the magnet. And the cold steam turbine will do that. And it works exactly like you're talking about.
Well, I'm excited about this deal, and I appreciate you putting that video up there, because it showed me with that one test right there that I know this is going to work. There ain't no doubt in my mind.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody keeps arguing with me all the time about, you know, whenever I talk about if it can be made on one scale, you could scale it up or scale it down. It'll work. If it'll push a boat, if you actually think about it, if you could shrink yourself down and put yourself in that doggone boat, you would be able to ride around in that boat, literally.
Yes, you could.
All right, and that boat, you know, has mass to it, and it's actually moving the weight of that boat. I made a big boat and had a small coil in it. Then you can see the video. There was a really crappy boat. It's funny how it all turned out, but that thing still moved, you know. And so
I'm afraid if I built a boat for this thing, that it would look worse than yours, because I'm a construction worker. I'm used to building things, but not boats.
Well, my first one looked pretty decent. You know, I did just like I told Dublin. I says, I'm not going to measure anything, because he was telling me about the math on the deal. I said, I'm not going to measure anything. If I use any kind of measurement, it'll be like a string, and I'll measure with the string. And so I did. And so when you look at the boat, it's made out of galvanized metal, and it's all crooked, and then I sealed it up with some Bondo, and actually at one point caught the doggone thing on fire, so I had to redo a little bit of it. And so the thing was it was clunky looking, it weighed too much, it was lopsided as all get out, and the doggone thing still worked.
I love it.
So I'm excited about it.
If I build one, I'm going to make it out of Coca-Cola 2 liters, and right in front of every single word that says Coca-Cola, right, not right in front of it.
There you go.
Hey, speaking of Coca-Cola, man, yesterday I went out to check the fluids in my wife's car, and she had a whole bunch of that green crud over the top of her terminal. And so I tried the old Coca-Cola trick on there, put a rag around the terminal and poured some Coca-Cola down there, and boy, that stuff took that green corrosion right off. It's like shiny new, man. So if you're drinking
it's the phosphoric acid. It's the phosphoric acid. The phosphoric acid in the cola products, whether it be Pepsi or Coke, is there for the flavoring.
Thomas, not is three letters. Un is only two. But Uncola.
I think they had a product that was called Uncola that was clear, wasn't it?
No, yeah. Years ago. That was a big commercial. They're Uncola.
Right, okay.
In fact, they took the Coca-Cola glass. You know how small at the bottom comes up and it gets big at the top? They started making it the opposite way. The bottom was the big part and the top was the small part. And they had it on the side of 7-Up on one side, the other side said Uncola.
Well, on this particular contest, I want to take a little bit of time and try to promote it better than we did last time around. I'm surprised that we did not even get not one single entry in that contest. It was really frustrating, because it was a simple contest, and you know,
didn't
everybody
you restrict
was,
some people from being in it because they were meant to be judges or something like that?
Well, yeah, we didn't want the judges. They could be.
So who's going to be the judges for this?
We didn't, hold on a second, we didn't want the judges to, you know, have an inside advantage, but this go around, it doesn't matter. I don't care if you're a judge or not, you know.
Hey, that's an idea.
We're gonna just let everybody give it a shot and let the public
put the word
decide.
Out there, hey, if you don't want the judges to make and enter into this, or their entries to matter, then you got to get enough people to enter so that the judges' votes aren't the only ones in the...
Yeah, so that's the key. The judges will be everybody who watches the video. It'd be thumbs up or thumbs down on the video will be the number of people that like that particular boat. So,
okay.
You know,
right.
So it'll be easy enough. So everybody can get involved, you know, because I'm going to build
one. Make the series of videos into a playlist.
Yep.
You know, seriously, I like what you said. When you said get everybody involved, that's the whole trick right there. You get everybody involved. The people watching are the judges.
They're involved.
Yeah, the doggone the implications of what could actually come up out of this boat. It's a simple little science toy that went way back. A lot of kids had a lot of fun with this boat all the way through the years. But why nobody's ever seriously took it further than that to, a actual solid-state boat motor with no moving parts, that the only thing can wear it out would be serious corrosion. All right, well, if you got a boat motor like that right there, number one, you're not dumping oil into the water because there's no oil in the thing because there's no moving parts. Number two, the thing's going to last whoever buys it nearly probably their entire life, as long as they maintain it, keep it from crudding up or whatever. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who would be, benefit from this in third world countries that can't afford to buy a brand new boat motor every time something falls off of it. That gets expensive.
Yes, it does.
You know, and then if you can get the part, you got to wait around for it to get there. So that puts them out of commission if they're into fishing. That puts them out of commission unless they want to row the boat with an oar. I mean, either way, now you would actually have a boat motor that you could modify even further than that, you know, because it would run off of any kind of fuel, even electricity heat. And so if you could throw some solar panels up on top of the boat somewhere that would draw enough watts to run the equivalence of a little coffee pot element, you'd have enough heat to run that doggone boat, man.
Yeah, you would.
And for all those folks out there, the naysayers, the ones, oh, well, there ain't no such thing as free energy and all that, get over yourselves, man. You're getting on my nerves.
Yeah.
We're not talking about over unity or zero point or perpetual motion or anything like that. So wipe your nose on your sleeve and head on down the road, man. I'm just saying, the things that we do out here, we do very inefficiently. We waste a lot of materials. We waste a lot of basic science. People want to overcomplicate things. Go look at your modern-day engine. Pop your hood and look underneath your motor. It looks like an octopus under there. There's wires going in every direction. There's vacuum lines going in every direction. And if one of those little vacuum lines split on one side of it, you get a miss in your motor or it just won't run at all. And so why overcomplicate the simple? You know, the internal combustion engine could be engineered to be so super efficient it's just ridiculous, but yet they don't do it. They'll make a shortcut. They'll run 3 feet of vacuum line from one side of the motor over to another to transfer some deal, when it could have been engineered from the get-go to not even need that vacuum line.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the overbuild of an internal combustion engine. My grandfather, back when he was a young man, early mid-20s, 30s, that kind of thing, his job was building, or rather setting up, lumber mills. Back in those days, they didn't have hard surface roads, so they actually built the lumber mill in the center of the forest. Cut the trees down, drag it to the lumber mill, cut it into lumber, then load the lumber on the wagons and drive it out. The scrap lumber, they used it to burn, to make steam, to run all the sawmills and stuff like that. Later, when they come out with the gasoline engines, they put a gasoline motor in there, but it didn't burn gasoline. They took a 250-gallon oval-shaped oil drum, put it upright, put it on legs, and they put 10 to 15 gallons of gasoline in it, and they run a one-cylinder pony motor, gasoline motor, on the fumes alone. And 10 gallons of gasoline would run that motor 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, for a month.
Yeah, that's all you need, man.
I mean, there was no electronic parts to it. There was a spark plug. That was it.
Stephen Gibbons posted in the chat room on the Shaziz radio site, only NASA could create a 400-page report on a Stirling engine. It is thorough.
Really?
He's actually got a link to the deal.
400-page technical advice on a Stirling engine. Come on.
But like I said, with this boat motor design, people when they look at things, they either overcomplicate it or they just completely look past the simple. This could be some serious technology. It's built based on, you know, a toy. It was based on basic science. There's a lot of science toys out there. If you ever really want to, you know, learn a lot, go out there and look at the old toys. Study them up. Look at the old vintage toys and toys before that. They actually had really working appliances back in the day. The kids had toys. Now, modern day, that wouldn't be necessarily safe according to the way that, you know, like, for example, there was a little stove that was electric stove that was actually a toy for kids. They could actually cook on this little toy stove.
Yeah.
All right. And they also had little sinks and stuff that actually had working plumbing, where it actually had water that would go through the thing.
Yeah.
And so this little steam engines that they had back in the day, they were kids' toys. They plugged into the 110 outlet and heated water, which boiled it up. And, you know, maybe a few kids too many blew the thing up or got electrocuted or something like that, and they decided, well, no longer a good idea to give it to the kids.
Right.
But, you know, either way, it all boils down to it was basic science in that basic science that went into making them toys could be expanded on so much, and it gets overlooked. All these old things like that get overlooked.
You know, the thing is, what really gets overlooked is water in a vacuum. If you take a container with water and air, and you seal it, and you draw a vacuum on it, that water will start to boil. Now, once you pull the vacuum as hard as you possibly can, and the water stops boiling, then you stop pulling your vacuum, because now all you have is water and water vapor. You have no air. Consequently, that water, no matter what, is at its boiling point right there. That is its boiling temperature. All you need to do is add a little bit more heat, and it'll start to boil again.
Well, think about this, man. You know how I'm into plasma technology, right? Think about a really super high-tech version.
Wait, you're into plasma technology?
Yeah. Not like the Keshi version. Don't even get me started on that, knucklehead. Hulu-voodoo, you got to love your reactor. If you're a jerk, you don't get no free electricity. Anyway, plasma, real plasma technology, like you see inside the plasma, the ball, you know. Anyway, imagine a high-tech version of the pop-pop boat like I'm talking about building, with the coil on there. Stainless steel coil, coiled up with a whole bunch, multiple tubes inside that stainless steel that fills it up like a core, you know, like a honeycomb effect look inside there.
Right.
And you got 12 turns, about just maybe the same diameter of an average car steering wheel. Right, and inside there, now you could actually probably, if you could get somebody, could coil it up tighter, make it a lot smaller, and would probably be preferable. But imagine that coil inside a plasma chamber, a reactor that's vacuumed down and as full of argon. Then you take a 12-volt oil burner igniter, which will run off of a car battery, and you energize that gas into the plasma state, and that heat inside that plasma actually is the heat source for that pop-pop boat motor. So, we all know that plasma gets hot. They cut steel with it. And that's an open-air plasma. In a closed system like that, not only could you pull off some electricity off of the other end of that deal, you'd be getting a visible light spectrum out of the deal. You'd get this really cool effect where your engine's actually glowing like some sort of space-age alien motor, you know?
Right.
And you'd be able to pull electricity off the other side of that to charge that battery as well. So now you'd have a heat engine / electric generator, energy transfer system, and visible light all in the same go with this motor if it was properly engineered. What do you think?
I love it.
Well, That's what I'd like to try to do, man. I'd like to try to take this as far as it possibly, you know, I play on the beginning of the show, to boldly go where no man has gone before. You know?
Yep.
And they can
That's what a proctologist thought, doctor.
They can take their book on the laws of physics and file it in file nine as far as I'm concerned, because if they say it can't be done, I ain't going to give up until I prove to myself they're right. You know what I mean?
Just because somebody does something six times and it doesn't work doesn't mean it won't work.
Well,
it means they just didn't do it right.
Yeah, maybe they missed something in the process.
Exactly.
But the whole deal is, even if nine times out of ten, that you get the same doggone results, but there's one time there's some anomaly that occurs. I don't care about the nine times. I want to know why that one anomaly occurred.
Exactly.
And so that's why I do what I do, man.
The anomaly with the pop-pop boat is everybody builds a toy. And, I mean, everybody teases me all the time because we don't know how to build a toy. He can't build anything small. Well, I can't. My hands are too big. I'm building a big one.
Well, the big one's going to be more impressive to me because in the pop-pop boat community, I've seen a lot of them. There's some Canadian guys out there that made some that they were about size of a, you know, good size RC boat, and those things were cooking right along. They had multiple ports coming out of the back and, you know, all kinds of different designs, multiple boilers.
Because my friend of mine, I call him a friend, I've never talked to him, but I've emailed him a couple of times. His name is Daryl Forrest, and that's the name of his YouTube user ID, Daryl, D-A-R-Y-L, Forrest, F-O-R-E-S-T. Anyway, this man has hundreds of videos on pop-pop boats and engines and boat designs he's made and different engine designs he's done. He's the one that convinced me that the actual noise of the popping noise of the engine was strictly for nostalgia. It has nothing to do with the power of the boat. In fact, it takes away from the actual power of the engine. And he's the one that convinced me that you don't really want a coil. Not a coil in multiple turns. Just a U-shape piece of pipe so that the water goes downhill into the U and you heat that up. That, I mean, this man is brilliant. If you folks out there listening, if you're interested in the pop-pop boat, trust me. You want to go to YouTube and search pop-pop boat and look for the guy whose user ID is Daryl Forrest. Click on his name on any video and go to his website and look at all the different pop-pop boats he has built. And he explains, I mean, he explains how the engine actually works. An eight-year-old kid could understand it. That's how thorough he is. He's perfect. Beautiful voice, too. I'm sorry. Got women there.
No, it's that's it. Go out there and Google it up. YouTube, watch some of the videos that's out there on this toy. And it's not the only toy out there. Like I said, there's tons of old science toys. You can learn a lot from history and the toys that they used to have back in the day. The Easy Bake Oven probably sold millions of dollars worth of toys.
Right.
But that Easy Bake Oven, even though it's a toy for a kid, it really cooks. They bake cakes with this thing. And that's off of a light bulb, man.
I don't know how he does it, but Daryl actually measures the force put behind, you know, pushing the boat, and he actually measures the speed. And the fastest boat he's made so far actually ran 1.74 miles an hour.
Well, I'd like to see somebody actually do some math about the size of that boat, scaled all the way down to just original pop-pop boat, which you can buy out there on eBay for, I think, $5 or $6 or something like that.
They've got one, Shaziz, that it's almost a duplicate of the Titanic.
Yeah, well, I'd like somebody just to take that one single little toy, measure it out, and do like a scaled-up version for a full-size, maybe 14-foot boat, and do some calculations to see how many knots that thing's actually doing on the water.
Right.
You know, because when you watch these things, they'll go around in there. If they're not hindered by a wall or whatever, these things will literally build up speed. They'll get going faster and faster whenever they have a lot of room to run.
Oh, yeah. In fact, the pop-pop engine,
the longer you run it, the faster it works.
Yeah. So, you know, that's why I'm saying this boat we're talking about, sure, you know, whenever you first want to run a doggone thing, you're going to have to take some time ahead of time to get it warmed up to operating temperature. But once it's up to operating temperature, heck, you can run it all day long.
All day long. I mean, the thing is, you can use propane, you can use charcoal, wood, a lighter fluid. One guy on YouTube was actually using vegetable oil. He was using olive oil
and
as fuel.
There is also another method by which you could actually use what you would find in a thermos in order to retain that heat, so that while you're sitting there fishing, you don't have to take near as long once that thing's heated up to actually get the thing to start again. Look at how the catalytic converter will stay hot for several hours after you shut that engine off.
Hey, think about the guys that go out in the lake fishing and they troll, and they're spending money on gasoline for their motor to run super, super slow. And anybody knows that the slower you run a gasoline engine, the faster it'll carbon up. So if you had one of these pop-pop engines, you can take your big motor, run out to the lake, go where you want to go, turn it off, fire up the pop-pop engine, and you run the perfect speed for trolling.
Well, I'm thinking people are going to get literally surprised at how fast these motors could really go if they were engineered properly. Because
I'm hoping to get mine up to really close to 2 miles an hour.
Steam pressure has been running boiler systems for years. All right, and now they're up to gas turbines, you know, and they pretty soon hydrogen motors.
I think we're going to have different categories on this contest, Bill. This is just a thought. You tell me if I'm going right or wrong. Different categories, like who can build the fastest boat, who can build the strongest boat, push power wise, who can build the biggest one, and it actually works.
Yeah, that'd be all cool and everything. I just don't want to get it too overcomplicated as far as what, you know, actually to build the motor. I want the simplest motor is going to impress me more
make it multiple prizes. It can be one based on different categories.
Yeah, that sounds
exactly. So each one is being entered into all of the categories, and then if they if they succeed at that particular category, they could get the prize that's available for that one. And
exactly.
If they succeed at another one, they get the prize for that one.
Exactly. Exactly. So if somebody builds the fastest and the biggest, then they get two prizes. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I love that idea. I really do. Really.
So, basically, that's what we're working on, folks. We're trying to get we're going to try to revive the pop-pop boat contest. And this time, I'm not going to let anybody get in the way of making this thing happen. We need to promote the heck out of it and get some people interested. But so that's why we're going to take our time with it. We're going to get the boat. I'm going to actually build a boat and throw the gauntlets down, so to speak. I challenge you to make it better. You know, that's the whole key. And, you know, when I show all these anomalies out here, like I talked about in my last video out there, when I show all these anomalies out there, people are, I don't know whether or not they're just stubborn or simple-minded or flat-out ignorant. They just overlook the simple. And if I'm trying to show you a simple concept, you know, such as how energy's transferred or whatever. I did just a little modification to a little 110 fan motor out of a microwave oven, and I was able to get some serious high voltage out of the other side by pulsing this doggone thing with a buzzer coil. To some people, that's just not going to work, or that's using too much of this or whatever. They just totally blow past the simple science of what it is that I'm showing you. Each one of these are keys or pieces of the puzzle inside of what could be an amazing mechanism that would run super efficient. If you don't like Lenz's Law and you don't want to invoke Lenz's Law as far as back EMF and cogging effect on your motor, then don't invoke it. You know what causes it, so don't invoke it. I mean, How much more simple can you put it? If you're sending energy into a coil of wire, and that energy is making a loop back into that same coil of wire that you're trying to pull the power off of, it's going to create that second field, invoking Lenz's law. So if you have a method that is proven that you can actually pull that energy off of that without invoking Lenz's law, they did it back in the late 1800s with the mercury arc rectifier. They did it. It was how long ago was the 1800s? We're in year 2016 now.
Yeah.
They figured out how to not invoke Lenz's law back in the day. Now, when you first fired up that mercury arc rectifier, Lenz's law was in 150,000% full effect, and I'm positive that that generator nearly dropped to its face whenever you fired that thing up, because it had a dead short with that mercury. But once that mercury got red hot and vaporized in the gas inside that chamber and went into the plasma state, that engine, that electric generator, just fired right up and run smooth as all get out, because it wasn't no longer having to work hard. And the work hard comes from whenever those electrons are able to make it back into the same generator you're trying to pull the juice from. And so these simple ideas that I keep showing, and the reason why I keep talking about high voltage as opposed to a lot of current watts and amps, is because I know that I can move that energy. I can change that energy. I can push it away from the source so that I'm not bogging the source down. Now, if it only takes you 110 volts to run that source, and you move that energy through that system, no matter what you do on the other side, as long as you're not invoking Lenz's law, that thing will never have to work any harder than it would take to run it. You see what I'm saying? And it's simple science. It's not rocket science, and it's not defying any of the known laws of physics.
Nope, not at all.
It's just not invoking the ones that you don't want to invoke. You move it over into a different state. Now, these two don't play well together. Electricity and plasma, as far as interaction, the pressure's built up, it's going to go where it can go. But as far as you running your electric motor off of plasma, it's not going to happen. You're generating heat and light and electricity off of it, but it's in a totally different range. And that's what I was showing in this latest video, is that I could actually run two separate frequencies with each other, and the fan wouldn't run off of the one because it's at the wrong frequency, but all I had to do is take a little 9-volt battery and tap at the right frequency, and I could get that AC electric motor to run. You see what I mean?
Yep, I do.
But people, they want to overlook the simple, and what's going on with that pop boat, I look to the potential. I don't just see a little nifty little toy that makes a little bit of racket going around in the bathtub or something like that. I see potential. A solid-state boat motor that could revolutionize the way that the average Joe gets around, out there.
But, the thing is, we're going to do it look, because some of them are going to be heavy, and weight is actually nothing more than ballast in a boat. But what Thomas said, if we can prove that it has the power to push a boat with a human being in it, then what Thomas said, look at the other possible potential uses. You could put a piston on the end of it. I mean,
If you can run it, get it to run efficiently so it's not generating that noise and it's pushing a piston back and forth through a coil, you can use it inefficient form of energy, like say from a candle, into a much more efficient form of energy in an LED or something.
Yes.
Light up the room up.
Yes, absolutely. And that's part of the design of my final build that I'm going to do, is the fire itself that I'm going to use, whether I use vegetable oil or propane gas, I don't care, it will be a fire box. My U-shaped copper tubes will be in there for the heat, but the excess heat, the fire box will be covered completely with Peltier devices to produce electricity. I can make electricity and drive a boat across the lake all at the same time. I'm going to use the waste
energy heat off my fire. Because there's going to be waste heat from the fire. There's got to be. We discussed this last Saturday.
There's a lot of different...
It's the same energy over and over again.
There's a lot of different potentials in here. Steve was asking, what about a pop-pop boat motor turning a windmill and the wind when the wind is low? What do you think?
Yeah. It would work. It could be done.
Yep. Anyway, I got a comment in my private chat there in Skype. Justin, seems to think we repeat ourselves over and over again. Well, sometimes you got to talk about the same subjects again. You know, I don't understand this. You know, I try to motivate people into, you know, thinking past what the doggone book says. I'm not sitting out there making up crazy names like Fluvium and stuff, trying to make things all super complicated for, you know, somebody trying to understand what's going on. I'm trying to talk about it in the most simple fashion, and something as simple as a pop-pop boat, if you can understand how that doggone thing functions, you can scale the thing up into a full-size, you know, working tool, you know? And so, I personally don't have time for ridiculousness. I don't have time to sit around and argue with people over who's right or who's wrong. If you want to make something, then you just get up and do it. I've made a lot of stuff. I got stuff in my laboratory that I haven't even put videos out on yet. You know? But most generally, it's because I'm tired of all the ridiculousness. I'm tired of the foul mouth, and I'm tired of people calling me up and cussing me out because they don't like what I said or whatever, or they disagree with me because I don't agree with the science book, or because I'll give NASA a rash because NASA should have been put a lot more information on the table than what they did, and they wouldn't have all the skeptics if they were more upfront about certain things, you know? And I don't care that people don't like that I don't like NASA, and I don't care that people think I'm repeating myself. If they didn't like my show, they probably wouldn't be listening to it, you know? But
you got a point there.
It's really aggravating to have somebody,
all I have to do is turn you off,
tell me that kind of jazz. When I've been sitting out here, I don't charge nobody for any ideas. I don't try to sell them anything. I'm not trying to scam anybody. I'm just telling them the simple of the whole deal. A pop-pop boat can be scaled up to a full-size version, which would benefit people. And since I don't have every single resource necessary to do all this kind of stuff by myself, I try to get other thinkers out there. I try to get other people with resources to, you know, build it for themselves. Prove me wrong. Anybody out there, prove me wrong that this can't be done. All right? That's what the whole contest is about. And so for all those people that jump on my YouTube channel or troll my deal and tell me how stupid I am and foul-mouth me behind the scenes, you guys wouldn't believe how many comments I delete with people just saying filthy, ignorant stuff.
Yeah,
you know? And I'm just a human being. I don't claim to know everything that, you know, as far as more than anybody else out there in the world. I keep telling everybody out there, we are all just pieces of the puzzle. It's as simple as that. You know, what I don't know, Raymond knows. What Raymond don't know, Thomas knows. And together we make a well-oiled machine that's put out some pretty doggone good shows, and we put them out there for people for free. Nobody's getting paid here. Nobody's doing anything but trying to help people out and volunteer. So
right.
I ain't got time for stupidity. So, you know, take those comments and go on down the road, you know. I don't got time for that. I'm going to build a pop-pop boat. I'm going to keep on doing my YouTube videos. I'm going to keep on trying to show people things. And if they paid attention to what I'm showing them, they could take that one simple idea and run with it. You know?
Yep.
It's as simple as that. Doggone it, Raymond Thomas, I get frustrated. You know? I put a lot of effort in behind the scenes, and these trolls, they just get on my nerves. You know? Hey, if you put a video out and show me something, I'll look at that video.
I've only been attacked one time by a real hard hitting naysayer. One time. And that didn't last but 2 weeks.
Well, I normally delete, block. I've been attacked. I've been hacked. I've been cussed out. mocked or ridiculed. You know what? Because these folks out there went to college, they somehow or another think that they are scientists. Bill Nye the Science Guy is probably one of the biggest doggone idiots on the face of the planet. And he's got a movie, or the doggone TV show that he does, telling all the kids about, you know, evolution and climate change and all this kind of stuff. He don't know whether or not we evolved from doggone monkeys, which end up essentially coming from wherever it is. Nobody knows what happened during the Big Bang, because what, nobody alive when all this stuff happened. And nobody can tell you that there is or isn't a God. That, you know, so his mixture of atheism slash mockery of anything that has to do with climate change deniers and telling everybody stupid stuff like, I think any climate change denier ought to be in jail, you know. So I don't agree with you, I should go to jail. What kind of science is that?
Really? Think about that a minute.
If I don't agree with you, it's because my facts show different than yours, and I don't. I'm not going to say, well, just because it hurts your feelings, I'm not going to tell you that I don't believe in what you're saying. But I don't have to be rude and disrespectful about it.
Exactly.
I don't have to go down there and drop the F-bombs on the dude and tell him that he's a piece of filth, you know, and you don't know what the heck you're talking about. If you've been to college, I'm happy for you. How well has that done you? How much money do you owe for college? And when are you going to be out of debt? Did you get the job you were looking for out there in this society? Or did you just get robbed? All right? And if you come up out of college and you did real good, and you got a real job and all that kind of stuff, and things are working out for you, I'm happy. But if you come out of college and you still ain't willing to think outside the box after all you witnessed in college, then I'm sorry for you. There are other things out there. Whenever they first started talking about electricity, people thought they were nuts. And there's actually people out there that thought they were witches because they were generating electricity. And if these folks had given up back then, you wouldn't have no lights on. You wouldn't be driving around your car. You wouldn't be talking on your cell phone, nor would you be talking on the computer out there foul-mouthing people. So that's all I got to say about that, man. Bill Nye, the Science Guy. He rates right up here with NASA on my list. So now that I've done offended everybody on the planet.
No wonder you get cussed out so much. It's a hard hitter.
Well, you know what? After about 300 or 400 different rude comments telling you stuff, and I got people to come out there and thumb my videos down. I know there's people, probably one of them, supposedly my friend, thumbs me down every single time I put a video out. No matter what I say in that video, no matter what I show, it always gets thumbed down. Nobody ever sits there, except for one guy. He sat there, well, I thumbed your video down because that lightning strike at the beginning scared the crap out of me. And I thought, well, sorry, man, but that's kind of like my calling card, you know, like the school bell ring, class in session kind of deal.
Right.
You know, I kind of like that.
Well, you know, different strokes for different folks. I like it.
They don't call it mad science for nothing, doggone it. So, you know, if you got something to say out there and you want to try to debunk something old Shaziz is saying, do a video. Show me why the doggone thing. I can respect you for that. I can respect your opinions and your views. And I can even respect your anti-Christian rhetoric if you turn around and just like give me a plausible something. But you weren't there during the day that the stuff started. You weren't there out there in space, so you can't tell me that you can look through a telescope at a little blinking light and tell me what that planet's made out of. You know?
Right.
It's ridiculous. Between us and that planet, there might be a pocket of gas that has, you know, the element that you're thinking you're seeing through the light spectrum. So unless you get out there and actually do the actual experiments on deck right there on that planet and tell me, yeah, there's really iron here, there's gold and diamonds the size of goose eggs laying everywhere. All right? But you ain't been to space. You weren't there when time started. Yeah, so you can't sit there and tell me I'm wrong, and I can't sit there and tell you I'm wrong, because neither one of us know. We're just making our way through life with the evidence that we've got and whatever we've been indoctrinated in school to believe or not believe. That's all I got to say about that. Drive me nuts, man. It's going to drive me to drinking.
We don't want that. I've seen you drinking.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
It's hilarious.
Yes,
he is. It's ridiculous. You ever want to see me act stupid? Get me drunk. That's why I don't drink, man.
No, you don't act stupid when you're drunk. You act silly.
Yeah, well,
it's a big difference.
I'm a happy drunk.
Yeah, you are.
Either way, I just, you know, I get aggravated. You know, I'm just an average guy out here trying to help everybody out. That's it. You know, and I got a lot of ideas, and I share them with people. When I see something that's unique and interesting, it's a piece of the puzzle. And when it's all said and done, and I've already showed all these different things and how they work, and if you paid attention to the simple of the science there, then you'd know that I'm wanting high voltage for this reason. And then whatever how I'm getting it and how I'm tuning it is by this particular method over here. When I put a device out there, there ain't going to be no ifs, ands, or buts. Everybody who was watching my video is going to know exactly how that thing's working. So if they want to replicate it themselves, they can do it. But in the meantime, they could have taken any one of these ideas and they could have ran with it and they built something else that could have come back and said, hey, you know, I tried that deal that you were talking about, kind of like what you did with the light bulb dream. You yep. came back with even more information on how we could actually improve it better.
Yep.
That's what it's all about, people. It ain't all about me knowing everything that there is to know, because I don't. None of us do.
I did really great with those fluorescent light bulbs until I had a hailstorm.
Yeah, that would have really stunk.
42 lights. Three of them survived.
How hard was it to clean your yard?
I haven't done it yet.
Uh-oh. That stinks to be barefoot in your backyard.
No joke. Hey, because you know that white fluorescent powder on the inside?
Yeah.
You get cut by that stuff, you've got blood poisoning in 30 minutes. That's some dangerous stuff.
Man, you're going to need to get you a shop back out there or something. Build you a big old one of the things like the wide things that they get carpet with and try to get that stuff up out of there.
Too bad it's not magnetic.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, this little anomaly, and I don't care if people want to think I'm repeating myself, you know, I personally don't really, you know, it's just we tried to help some folks out, we tried to do a contest and get something moving. I'm doing stuff on my lab. I don't stop building stuff. I've got all kinds of gizmos in my lab, you know, so I'm building things, so I'm not just sitting on the microphone talking about it all the time. And I don't spend 24/7 on the internet, you know, jaw-jacking with people. If I was, then you'd have some credibility to say that I'm just, you know, talking out my neck. But I'm not. And so, if you get on the internet during the deal, you might see me jump in every so often to check in on people, messages, and stuff like that. But you're not going to see me spending 24/7 on there. Because I got a life outside here. I like to build stuff. I like to create stuff. And when I find something that was worthy of sharing with you guys and gals out there, I'll build, make a video about it. And I'm getting tired of having to sit there and justify what I'm trying to say on my videos by saying, look, you know, I know, I'm gonna catch you for showing you this. Because everybody out there, oh, well, that ain't free energy because it costs you more energy to get this out of that. But the point was, I took a hard drive motor and got over 450 volts AC out of the doggone thing by spinning it up over 35,000 RPMs. Why? How? There ain't very much copper wire inside there. You see what I mean?
Yep, I do.
So, that was a worthy anomaly to show people. You can spin that hard drive up. The faster you get the RPMs, the higher the voltage rises on there. And it's not thousands and thousands of turns of copper wire on there. Take one of those coils apart and unwind it slowly and count those coils up. and tell me why it is that you can get that much high voltage out of something so small. Enough to light up a 120 volt strand of LEDs, you know, or make a light bulb, a fluorescent light bulb glow. That don't seem like much to folks. But in reality, it's one of those little science deals like the little pop-pop boat engine and how it functions. Those are pieces of the puzzle. When put together, you engineer the right machine, you can have your over-unity, your free energy machine. And even if it isn't over-unity, but it's 100% efficient, then doggone it, isn't that what you need to begin with?
Yeah.
And if it ain't spewing crud in the air, there's all kinds of exotic materials and chemistry out there that you could use to do all kinds of stuff. But, you know, it's getting people motivated to do it. You guys think I'm wasting my time?
Nope. I don't.
What about you, Thomas? You still there? Thomas, I think he left. Went to sleep or something.
Oh, man, I was throwing you under the bus like you did to me.
Oh, thanks. Now, I tried to build the dream team before, and I'm still trying to build the dream team. I'm still trying to get some brilliant people to come together, and we can all arrange how we can get together in the shop and just build some things and prove some theories or disprove some theories, however it turns out. But you ain't going to do it until you do it. That's it. You do something, something gets done. And if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done.
Exactly.
I don't care if people disagree with me. Don't be rude about it. You know? Doggone it.
If they're disagreeing with you, that means they've got too much time on their hands because they're not doing anything themselves so that somebody else could be disagreeing with them.
Yeah. I could see it if I come out and made some like crazy old claim that you tried and it failed no matter how much you tried. You know, if you put a video out and show me, look, I tried this. I did it exactly the way he said and I didn't get nothing. Nothing at all. Or this is how he's cheating. You know, this is what's going on. But when I show I'm making the high voltage with the same exact transformer, no secondary whatsoever. I'm just tapping on and off a transformer using a normal transformer for a magnetic ballast that you've got your fingers on the end of that 9-volt battery. When you pull the plug off of there, you're going to get the crud shocked out of you. Alright? So you don't even need a secondary to get high voltage. You can just pulse the primary as rapid as you want, and when that field collapses, it's going to raise that frequency level up. It's going to raise the voltage up higher. And sometimes, pulsing it slower is better. So, you know, you don't have a chance to build up the current flow by rapidly pulsing those coils. There's a reason why 60 and 50 hertz works as opposed to anything higher than that. Higher than that, you got high voltage. Lower than that, you got high current. You see what I'm saying?
Yep, I do.
And so, because the field is expanding and collapsing so rapidly, it don't have time to build up a lot of current. But it does have multiple times, plenty of time to build up high voltage. It is so super simple to get high voltage, it's just ridiculous. And with high voltage, unless you're getting up into the thousands and millions of volts up there, you don't even got to worry about heat to some extent. But when you start energizing stuff with that high voltage, now you're talking power. Look at the plasma ball again. Just take a look at it. Watch how that plasma likes to follow your finger around on the little globe there. Stand there and look at it for hours. Put a penny on top of that and then slide it around there. And tell me what you get. You know what I mean?
Yep. Right.
Alright, well, let's go ahead and take a quick music break.
Sounds like an idea to me, man. Let's do that.
Alright. Doo-doo-doo, I'm going to throw on a long song. Everybody stay tuned, you're listening to Mad Science. Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Mad Science Show at www.shazizradio.com. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to end this broadcast right shortly for family emergency needs to be addressed. So, anyway, let's recap real quick. We're going to try to build a full-size pop-pop boat. And we're going to prove that you can take and scale up a little scientific toy from way back. And there's a lot of scientific toys out there that have a lot of really brilliant effects going on with them. If you take and pay attention to what's happening in them things, you don't have to get all the high tech about it. If people can understand how simple this thing actually functions, imagine what would happen if you build a solid-state boat motor with no moving parts that could run safe and efficient without polluting the environment in the same sense. You know, there's multiple different exotic materials out there this could be made out of that, you know, wouldn't even corrode if you did it right, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, with that said, you guys got any other ideas on this deal?
No, I'm done.
All right.
No, I'm just real simple, that tannic acid idea that I was talking about for the pop-pop boat, that it's known as basically tannic acid is an oxygen scavenger, so it'll keep things from corroding. So
there's
just do a search for oxygen scavengers online, and you can find all kinds of stuff like that.
So there's all kinds of different possibilities there, man, you know? And like I said, when I was talking about the plasma version of it, you know, it's not beyond the realms of science. It's been done before. Not this particular deal in itself, but the mercury arc rectifier was a plasma reactor. As simple as that. You've got a plasma reactor in your doggone house if you got one of those plasma globes. There's heat, there's visible light, there's electricity transfer, wireless energy. You can take a fluorescent bulb and put it up next to one of them plasma balls, and it'll light up without being plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is all I've been saying, people. Of all those turkeys out there that like to troll me and dumb me down for everything, give it up, man. Just go find
turkeys.
Something to do. Yeah, not only turkeys, jive turkeys, man.
Well, there you go.
It's like, it gets ridiculous. So, you know, all we got to do is, if we want anything done, is just to get up and do it. Now, I'm hoping to motivate some folks to come together at the table, discuss some things, work on some things, do some projects. Raymond's actually put a video out with the first pop-pop boat of the contest. We'll get this. I'll build mine. Thomas, are you going to build you one?
I'll probably collaborate with somebody else.
Well, that's good enough. Heck, more minds on it, the better.
Thomas, you collaborate with anybody, you collaborate with me. You think I'm smart, you'll figure out some way for somebody else to beat me.
That'd be a way to be able to be sure to get a hold of you for a little while.
You can go straight.
All right, well, that's pretty much
my teammate.
All right, team up out there, or even get you a group of people together. Find out all kinds of different materials that could be recycled. Try it with aluminum, try it with copper, try it with stainless, and tell us about the results. Find out which work, whatever side effects you find. That's how research is done, man. Trial and error. Try it before you deny it. Don't be a doggone jerk and foul mouth somebody because you just think you know more than they do, because you don't. Nobody does. That's all there is to it, man.
Try it before you deny it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, anyway, I got to wrap this up. And everybody out there, thanks for listening to the Mad Science Show. Stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. And we'll probably try to take up somewhere where we left off and maybe just move right along. I don't know. You guys decide. Alright, take care. Peace and love, everybody.
You get off this air, I'm gonna call you.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. We'll be right back.
is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.